Grammatically Correct. Brought to you by us, fans like you, but mostly us.
Look at these people. These human beings. Consider their potential. From the day they arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there is more to see than can ever be seen. More to do than... No, hold on. Sorry, that's the Lion King. But the point still stands. Leave them alone!
In a dark corner of the world, three men will work together to bring you a podcast like no other. This is Fanatically Correct, where the fans, the geeks, and the nerds are always correct. With your host, MSK, Yo Peace, and Omega.
This is the Fanatically Correct podcast. We're going to be doing a Doctor Who panel. I am your host, Omega.
MSK.
Yo Peace.
And we're going to talk Doctor Who. Like I said, we're a podcast, so a few things we get out of the way at the beginning. We're going to talk about... Hold on, I got the wrong panel. Here we go. At 3:30, we'll be back in this room doing a Marvel panel, talking about the MCU and pretty much the MCU canon. So the shows of the MCU and all the 20 movies that have now come out for the Marvel Universe cinematic. But you can, if you want to listen to us, you can reach us on Podbean, any pod, if you have an Echo and Alexa. You can listen to us on iTunes and Google Play. It'd be nice if you review us, if you listen to us on iTunes or Google Play. And then you can reach us on Twitter and Instagram, at FanCorrect. We also have a website that will take you directly to our Podbean, which is fanaticallycorrect.com. And if you actually want to email us, it's contactfancore@gmail.com.
And Google Plus.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. I purposely tried to skip that.
I think that's a new...
It's a form of social media, as I think.
It's like a,
that's the only thing I use.
Yeah. There you go. You're one of four people. Yeah. You, him, Dan Cook, and some other guy.
Tom.
There you go. Tom from MySpace. He's on Google Plus. So, now that everyone's out of the rain, we're going to talk some Doctor Who. For the most part, we try to go over like favorite things we have. So we'll go over our favorite doctors, favorite companions, favorite episodes, favorite antagonists. And you can shout things out and... We'll acknowledge you if we wish to, and if it's worth discussing. But it's overall just a conversation. It's just sitting back, relaxed, like if you just watch an episode with some friends and talking it out. So we'll go ahead and start with our favorite doctors. First, we're going to poll the room real quick by applause. Anybody in here favorite doctor, doctors 1 through 8, or the War Doctor?
All right.
All right, what doctor, what number? Just curious.
4.
Doctor number 4.
Number 4.
Excellent. And is that when you started watching or? Okay, excellent. So you're a longtime fan. Excellent. So yeah, I guess we're going to have mostly noobs like the rest of us. All right, Doctor number 9 by applause. Do we have any 9s in the audience?
I think
any Doctor number 9s?
Woo! Yeah!
No? So
no,
right.
So no, it's huge applause right now.
Now it's going to get really loud. It's Doctor number 9. They don't have... It's Doctor Who. They're all called Doctor...
For
all right, do me a favor. Hey, those are my parents. Everybody applause for my parents. Yeah. And everything they ask out.
No,
everything they say, just edit completely out. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I'm totally
so, let's go and get a big applause already. I'm sure of it. Doctor number 10. A lot of David Tennant fans.
You gotta get the name.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised.
The name. David Tennant.
There you go.
The actor's name.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
My name.
Let's go Doctor number 11, Matt Smith. We got 11 fans.
Matt Smith. Right. Oh,
like your doctor a little sillier. Okay. And then my personal favorite, Doctor number 12, any current Capaldi.
Wow.
Surprise. All right. Yeah. So we'll start with MSK. Actually, the loudest applause was number 10. So
was it? I don't know. 11 was.
Yeah, 11 was up there.
No, surprisingly.
I don't know. I heard
12.
Wait, are any of us 11? Are any of us?
I don't think so.
12, 10, 9. No?
There's no 9.
So we're talking 11. Who's an 11 fan in the audience? 11 fan. Shoot us in like 2 or 3 words. Why? Besides fezzes are cool. Put everyone on the spot. Fezzes are cool.
Bow ties are cool.
Bow ties are cool. He's
That's
your first,
first
doctor?
Doctor?
That's a good reason.
First doctor. Yeah. Okay.
He's a great follow-up to Tennant. He really was. They really changed it up with... he was more silly in his tone compared to Tennant had a little bit more of a serious note, which we've discussed before. I have a feeling is what's going to happen with the newest Doctor. I think she's going to be a silliness to Capaldi's more seriousness. We'll see how that turns out. But I guess then we'll just go straight into
11. Is 11 your favorite one?
No, 12 is my favorite.
12 is your favorite. Why is 12 your favorite?
12. Don't talk though. I mean, first. We'll get into it. I see how they think. Let's go 10. We're going over. 12 is the most recent. So everyone's going to be fresher in the mind with 12.
I think 10 was a good... He plays silly and dramatic very well. Where Eccleston was more of like... Once he gets really dramatic, I guess the microphone.
It's gonna come closer to your mouth.
Yeah, Eccleston could be overly dramatic in some scenes, but I think the dynamic between Tennant and Rose, and Tennant and Donna especially, which is my favorite companion.
Tennant and Martha?
Played at who?
Tennant and Martha.
Tennant
and Martha fans in the audience? Martha? Really?
Wow. Yeah. Well, the thing with Martha was she came off right after Rose, and she wanted Ten's like attention
the whole time,
and Ten just kept thinking about Rose, and
yeah, so she had romantic
Martha just
interest.
Kind of gave up on it, and just being strong-willed on her own went her own way. She's like, you know, I'm just gonna do my own thing because you keep thinking about Rose, and it's just
that would have been a good That might have been better for her character, and it would have developed more if she would have became a main character on Torchwood. But yeah, unfortunately, she didn't join there with Captain Jack. And with Doctor, number 10, I think he paired with all his companions very well. Like you said, with Donna, which I guess is that your favorite companion?
I think their chemistry is the best because they're the most comedic together.
Yeah, yeah. Donna's a great companion because of the way they fed off each other. It's a very platonic relationship.
Yeah.
Very funny. I mean, it's the comedy between the two of them is great, but there's a lot of heartfelt compassion between the two of them, and Donna really helps him grow as a doctor after everything that happens with Rose and a disappointment. And I think if Donna would have been paired up with a Matt Smith or a couple, I don't think it would have worked as well, and she wouldn't have been as good of a companion. I think she fed off of Tennant so well and so differently than every other companion fed off of Tennant.
Yeah, because they were all in love with Rose, Martha was in love. And then like the first episode with Donna, she's like, get away from me, alien, I don't need that,
So it's kind of different. One of the best things about Doctor Number 10 is David Tennant's actual personal story. I don't know a lot of people know about that. Die hard Doctor Who fan his whole life. Actually marries in real life the daughter of his favorite Doctor, which is number 5. In real life. Not only does he become the character, his dream job, he's married to the daughter of his favorite Doctor who had his dream job. And she's actually in one of the episodes, she plays his daughter.
She plays Jenny?
Yeah.
Was it Jenny?
Was it Jenny? I think so. Yeah.
It was a clone.
Yeah, it was a clone of him, a female clone. So, Tennant also has a lot of things of personal story. He does a lot of charity events too that really blow up. Like, he just did something recently, Pigs in Outer Space in England. It was some type of charity event, and they even introduced the newest Doctor in that as well, who he worked with in Torchwood. I mean, not Torchwood.
Broadchurch. I think you could just really tell that he was a fan growing up.
He was, and he's still a fan. He still does it. That's what's amazing. He still goes back and takes on the role as the Doctor to do charity events and comedy sketches and things like that. If they asked him to come back and do it, he'd definitely do it. Which is sad, because the time of the Doctor, when they brought the War Doctor and whatever, it would have been awesome if they had Doctor Number 9 in there, but he's obviously not a fan. The way Tennant
is. Well, he considered it more as an acting job, which is fine, but it would have been nice to have him on that.
Speaking of a guy who's not as much of a fan, so Doctor Number 9, that's your...
That's my favorite. What am I going to do?
Defend it.
I have to. Shoot. I mean, it's the most serious one for me. It was no joke. I loved the episodes. Pretty much, it got me into watching Doctor Who from the past because they revamped it. I loved the chemistry with Rose. I love it brought Jack. I mean, there were so many great episodes.
Well, the what is it? The one with the children in World War II. That's his episode. The
Empty Child.
Mummy, are you my mummy? And that is one of my personal all-time favorite episodes.
To me, it was great. Yeah. I love the Doctor itself. Like I love every Doctor, but I just have a more connection with him.
He deserves a lot of credit because
it was more serious for me. Yeah. Like he wasn't. There was no. Yeah. For him, it was nothing. It was barely any jokes.
He was more dramatic.
Yeah. He was just straight up.
But when he does do that, like one smile, because he has that. Yeah. Eccleston has the best smile where he just smiles in his ears.
Yeah, but his is like a cockiness smile.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's very funny.
He's a very cocky Doctor, and the beauty that, I mean, again, his Doctor's important too because he rebooted the whole series. If it wasn't for Doctor Number 9, the fan base wouldn't have blown up the way it did again to bring a 10, an 11, and a 12, and now we're still going with the War Doctor 13.
Right.
And it's, you know, so he's very relevant, brought in great characters, Captain Jack, spun off with Torchwood, and he's, you know, brings in Rose, and he actually rebooted the episode. I think it was the first episode that he has that speech where he's holding Rose's hand, and he's talking about how he can feel the Earth moving and everything all at once, and he lets go of her hand, and he says, and I can feel it all stop at once. And it was the first iconic speech of many iconic speeches, because all the Doctors have iconic speeches, the Companions each have their own iconic speech, and he really set the tone for what Doctor Who was going to be from that point on. And so I give credit to Doctor Number 9. He just had one season, is the hard thing, so it's hard for him to be a favorite for everyone.
That, you know, in the background, things happen, and he just, you know, he didn't want to take a part of it, whatever it was, but he was a great
doctor.
He brought the whole series back. And I give him credit for that.
Is the Empty Child your favorite episode?
Huh?
Is the Empty Child still your favorite episode? The World War II.
That's top three for me.
That's hard, man.
That's top three for me.
But it is, yes.
That's easily my top three.
It's hard. It's a lot of great episodes in there, man.
Yeah. Companion. Does that make Rose your favorite companion?
Yes, Rose is my favorite companion.
Companions. Who has Rose as their favorite in the audience? A nice applause. Rose, yeah, she's a great companion. Bad Wolf.
So is that your favorite companion? You have some...
She's actually, no, not my favorite companion. Now we'll go ahead and get into mine. Is Rose your favorite companion with Doctor Number 9 or more because of Doctor 10?
No, it's...
So you're like season... I'm still behind.
I'm still behind. I'm still season...
Well, you've seen all of 10 and 11. Stop it.
What?
You've watched all of 10 and
11. No, I'm saying that's still my favorite.
Yeah, I got
you.
Yeah. Mine is, I'll go companion to Doctor, but my Doctor is number 12. And not just because of the way, thank you very much. I guess one person, so I'm up on myself. 12 is, it's not just his portrayal, but a lot of it has to do with the showrunner and the writing that he got to portray. I think the storylines for Doctor number 12 were incredible. This very last season, his send-off was just mind-blowing. My favorite episode, hands down, let me see if I remember the name of it, which is the one I call it the ice-punching episode, which is Heaven Sent. And that is that's my number one episode. And I love the twist to it. I love that it's all him carrying the episode. Most Doctors... In every episode, most of the great episodes, they're feeding off a companion, they're feeding off an antagonist, they're feeding off, you know, a story arc. But even though that episode's part of a story arc, just as alone by its own episode, it's a very internal battle for him. And just to see him age so many years and just pecking away little by little to, you know, to get his freedom, it's an incredible episode. And that's one of the episodes that's when I finally decided this is my favorite Doctor. There was many episodes that were building towards that. The Moon one, Kill the Moon, the Zygon. I mean, there was so many that I'm like, I think this is becoming my favorite Doctor. And I hate being that guy because I'm always that guy. Like the most recent thing I've seen, that's my favorite. Like I watch, you know,
well, that's
the
every Marvel Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's hard to do
Doctor's
that. And I want to like live in like something else, but yeah, here you go. But slowly but surely, he won. And that was the episode. I go, you know what? This is my favorite Doctor. I can't see any other Doctor doing this episode the way he did it, bring it the way he brought it. Clara, just to give an example, was, I didn't think they had great chemistry between her and number 11, which is why it was a big deal when they brought back Amelia Pond, who that is my favorite companion, is actually Amelia and Rory, the combination of the two. But they had to bring her back so 11 could have a good send-off, and I think it helped because him and Clara's relationship, they did manage to make Clara the most significant companion, because she actually picked this TARDIS for him. She goes back with the fear episode and gives that's another great speech from Doctor Who, is the fear speech of how fear is like a companion. And it's interesting because it's stuck with him ever since, and that's why he has the need for a companion throughout his journey. So they managed to write her in as the most significant companion. But I just think that the chemistry, her chemistry wasn't the best with Matt Smith, but with Capaldi, I think they had excellent chemistry right out the gate. I mean, right in the same episode when he says to her, "You're not my girlfriend," and she goes, "Of course," and he goes, "I'm not talking to you." And he actually had to out loud say to himself, "I'm in a new, form. The person that I am now is not going to be that same person that would have maybe gone that route with this companion." And I think that they set that up very well. And he's my favorite Doctor. I mean, he really is. He had a great send off by bringing in Doctor Number One. Was very interesting, and I enjoyed that storyline. But to go into my companion, hands down, Amelia and Rory. I mean, there's so much with them that I enjoy. You know, River Song's parents, that's incredible, and River Song's a great character. Do I have any Amy and Rory fans in the crowd? Is that anyone's favorite? I got a few. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we have a Donna. He's Donna's his favorite.
The ending of her her storyline was very tragic because she just like forgets everything.
Yeah, and it was heartbreaking.
What I like what they did with Donna was that her she impacted the Doctor in a way that ended up being Capaldi, the 12th Doctor. That's a face that he had in one episode, which was the Pompeii episode. And it was because what Donna said during the episode that impacted him that way that he changed into that face again. Yeah. He reused that face.
It's the writing of Doctor Who is so clever. That's why it's such a great show, and they're able to do intelligent moves like that because we see that all the time. Like, hey, you're reusing actors, and that's a show that loves to do that, and they reuse actors, but then they'll kind of intertwine it into the storyline somehow.
Yeah,
like they did with Clara. And they did with Clara too, and then they fed off that big time, made her the Impossible Girl, and now she kept having reincarnations.
Overall, I think Clara had a very good send off as well.
Yeah.
Just
she did. Yeah, she went out her way. Yeah, she's frozen in time and like right before a second before her death.
Yeah.
But then gets to go on this journey with Arya's character.
Me. Her name is Me.
Me, that's right. Me.
Being me.
Which is another and you know what I still call her Arya. Anything she does, she's Arya Stark. That's it. So it doesn't matter what she does, she's always gonna be called Arya Stark. But she's, and that's what I'll get into now, is like favorite side characters. I don't really call them companions personally. I call them like reoccurring allies because their storyline isn't that of like a sidekick to the Doctor. They're more either a partner or even sometimes he sidekicks to them. Like River Song, that happens a lot with where the Doctor kind of sidekicks to her storyline. So with that being said, personally, my favorite is Captain Jack, but Me is an incredible side character.
Yeah.
I mean, she only had the one season, but the storyline is so in depth of how he cursed her overall, and then it's almost like a happy ending for her too, because after all this curse and all this is living to the end of time eternity, she gets a companion in Clara,
and they
get to almost like live out a final second in eternity. So yeah, it's fun. But as far as side characters, throw out names: River Song, Captain Jack. What are for River Song?
Danny Pink, the
boyfriend
of Clara's
boyfriend.
What I like about Danny Pink was the episode Listen, where they kind of go back to when he's a kid.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, that's my favorite episode.
With the toy soldier.
Right.
And he's afraid of what's under his bed, and he's just like standing there, not wanting to.
Well, that's
to
the same episode about the fear, the fear speech.
Yes. Yeah.
Which shows how he's connected to the Doctor in an incredible way. And it's heartbreaking because Rory, we get the soldier who waited in Rory, and he's the gladiator. He kind of gets cursed, but
we get him back.
Where Pink doesn't, we don't get him back. You know, he's a Cyberman, and you know it's Doctor Who does it a lot. It really pulls at the heartstrings, and you know it finds a way to make you like a character and then break your heart with that same character. I love Captain Jack. I mean, I gotta bring that up because later on, at the end of every episode, we do what's called a necessity, and he's part of what our necessity is gonna be. And I mean, Captain Jack's relationship with Nine, with 10, and then just in general, his interaction with Rose is incredible. Yeah. And just
his storyline is amazing too.
And that's, I'll get it when we do our necessity. I'm gonna really get into his storyline that makes me love that character. And unfortunately, it's more of another show that makes me like his character so much more than his character on Doctor Who. But it was in 9 that regenerated him. It was Doctor number 9, right?
That regenerated.
Yeah, that
it was 9. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. He died. He died in the last episode of 9.
And 9.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Rose. Yeah, Rose regenerated.
It was in the 9th. That's what he meant.
Doctor number 9 was the one who did it. So.
9, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. That's right. Yeah. So I'm going to catch up on. I need to go back and rewatch. And Doctor Who's one of those shows you do that because they rerun it a lot on BBC. And it's one of those shows that I'll catch an episode. Like, I like this episode. I'll watch it. And the movies too, with the Waters on Mars and.
Waters on Mars.
That's a really good one. And all the Christmas specials are so rewatchable. Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas special?
Wow, my favorite Christmas special. That's a thought. I really like the one with Matt Smith, the wardrobe one.
The wardrobe. Oh, okay, with the kids, and he goes
back to the other planet that has like the creature. Matt Smith, I think for me worked great for the Christmas episode.
Yeah, the first one was my favorite one. The one that was kind of like the Scrooge,
his regeneration. Yeah, it's incredible when he meets Amelia Pond. His silliness connects with. Because Christmas, you think family friendly, and he's a really family friendly, kid friendly, doctor with his silliness. And because even when he goes to war, when that whole storyline breaks out, and he still has a childlikeness about him that you can connect to. So that's a great Christmas special. What's one of your favorite episodes? What was that?
The Husband's a River song.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yep.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, her send off was incredible because she kind of had multiple send offs.
Yeah,
and they just kept feeling they couldn't get it right. And I think one of the reasons they couldn't get it right is, like I said, about Matt Smith was pretty silly, and that's a very serious, complex love story with River Song's character. So for Matt Smith's character, I mean, even though that's the relationship that it started from and formed with, as a send off, as she kind of aged more and she grew more, he just felt too immature for the viewers for that to be the person she sent off with. And with Capaldi, that send off was excellent. I mean, this, you know, and it had, what was it, like 7 years or something like that? She goes, we have 2 days. And she goes, how long is a day, you know, last? Yeah. Or it's like 7 years or something like that. What are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm just trying to see how deep you're getting into.
Oh, no. Well, no, that's also one of my favorite episodes. And River Song is a very great, you know, he's a great character. And that's the whole episode where the half the episode, she's with him and doesn't realize he's the doctor.
Right.
Until that final moment. And it's just, you know, that's, it has.
He doesn't really give that information away either in that episode, I don't think.
No, but the best thing about that episode, and that's probably the silliest thing that I've ever seen Capaldi do, is when she goes into the TARDIS, the other character. Well, he goes into the TARDIS. Sorry. She brings him in not knowing he's the doctor, and then he finally gives the reaction that he expects the TARDIS to have. And it's so good. He's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. My entire understanding of the universe, entire space. And it's true. No one reacts like that. Yeah. No one.
It is.
And it's funny because the most recent companion, Billy, Billy says, she says it opposite.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, it's smaller.
And he's never heard that before.
And he's like, which, you know, intrigued him, but still, he never got that oomph. And if you really think about it, every thought, I guess, something, you know, Clara ran in, came out, was kind of excited, but no one was like completely mind blown. And he was like, and that was, I love that. That was just like a very silly thing that I don't even know if that was originally written in, or maybe he kind of did
probably
that.
Ad-libbing.
And there was probably a lot of ad-libbing to that, because that's a great thing. But yeah, River Song's an incredible character. If anybody has favorite episodes they want to throw out, we can discuss. More than welcome. Oh, the Vincent Van Gogh episode. Starry Night. Starry Night.
Wow. And then they go back to the art gallery.
Yeah, I wanted to cut my ear off after that episode. Yeah.
That was very hard focus. Yeah. Brought back.
Episode.
Have you ever noticed what they do, though? Because also one of the all-time funniest ones was their in sequence, The Lodger, the one with James Corden.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so, like, the most heartbreaking one is also paired with, like,
I would. He would have been a great companion for a whole season.
Yeah,
I thought
they did bring him back
with two episodes. Yeah, him and Matt Smith had great chemistry.
Yeah, they tested. I think I thought what was it, Donna's father was a great companion.
Oh,
yeah, awesome, Wilfred. Yeah,
he only got number 10 killed, but even that, 10 send off. I mean, obviously the most heartbreaking regeneration ever is Doctor Number 10 with the "I don't want to go," and it's like, and again, like. Most fans know his backstory, the actor's backstory, and you guys, like, I don't think
he meant it.
I think everyone, you ball because you're like, yeah, he don't want to go, and I don't want him to go,
and then he repeats that line in the 50th when he leaves.
Yes, he always says that. Number 11, he always says that. But, and which, and that was a very uphill battle for number 11, and I got into Doctor Who late, so 11 had already had like 2 seasons in. When I started watching. So since I started watching it right away in sequence, I guess it didn't take as long for him to grow on me as most people who are probably watching it week to week.
I've
originally
had a hard time. After 10, I've had a hard time.
That's hard because he was, I mean, so many episodes he had, such a good doctor, and you're such a fan, it's hard to get acquainted to that.
Well, I know you said 10 is your favorite regeneration, but 11 had
that is
a really,
my favorite generation. He had a great
his
regeneration.
Was
also
incredible because he was just like, I'll always remember when the doctor was me. You hear in the actor, and you see the behind the scenes of him reading it and around the table with all the directors and stuff. Like, he really felt.
Well,
that
he
scene.
Was really emotional. Go ahead.
Do you think that Tom Holland from Infinity Wars pulled that "I don't want to go" from Mr. Stark from his performance?
Maybe. I don't know if he's a big Doctor Who fan, Tom Holland specifically, but. It is. That is a very, a number 10 almost. I didn't bring it up.
No,
accused that Infinity War is getting brought up in our panels. And so I got to point out this time, I did not bring it up.
He does it all the time. But, you know, that death scene, now that you brought it up, that death scene has been killed. Ever since.
Yes, Groot. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to have a Marvel panel at 3:30.
Oh, yeah.
But if everyone can't make that panel, just in case, so everyone, there's kids in the room, man. I can't. That's hard.
No,
it's not profanity or anything like that, but it's very heartbreaking. If everyone knows what Groot, they said what Groot's last words were, and he calls Rocket Dad. So after that, Spider-Man kind of just got moved to the side because, you know.
Well, that's just for us.
It's just, yeah, it's more heartbreaking. Huh? Not my hashtag group. Not my group. Yes, that's.
And we have an episode about that if you want to listen.
I just think it's unfortunate that as I walked out of that movie theater feeling as if whole actually was drilled into my heart.
We'll get into that at 3:30, Mom.
You know what? They did it again.
Someone's being edited out.
Yes, that's fine. My mother doesn't watch Doctor Who, so she's trying to change the conversation.
Now I see where he gets it from.
Okay, with regard to Doctor Who, how do you feel this? Change of gender is
the new doctor. We'll see.
It's not really about the gender. I know maybe plenty of people will have a problem with that. My problem, like I said, I'm always having a hard time to
change doctors in general.
Change doctors, no matter what. After 10th, it's been like the hardest thing. 11th, it took me. Maybe 2 seasons for me to get through that. I'm not even lying. Yeah. Not even lying.
That's most people.
Yes, it took us 3 weeks to watch it. And even Peter, I was like, no way, I'm not doing this man.
Yeah.
And I love him. I love him. It took me a whole year, guys, to watch it.
Something
a whole year.
My input.
Right?
A whole year.
Yes. No, anyone? He's like, I'm not going to watch it.
I'm not doing it.
She's been. She has her hand up for a while.
Go ahead.
Missy, yeah.
That's, you know, because now we're talking about the gender. We're talking about the gender switch. They were hinting it for a while.
Yeah.
They were hinting it for a while, and you pick up on the subtleties, and it was already a conversation. Like they're probably gonna make the next Doctor female because they kept hinting at it with subtleties. Exactly. And once they did it with Missy, and I'll tell you right now, that's actually my favorite version of the Master is Missy. And then she grows, and then you know, completely, and then actually. It's incredible because it actually makes the Master more villainous.
They did.
Yes.
I love that they both came back.
Yeah, it actually was. And what's the smartest thing about that, it makes that version of the Master even more so the most villainous, evil version of the Master that he kills himself.
Yeah.
Because he can't, like, no. He has no respect for his future regeneration, and he kills it because he has no respect for it. That it's not as evil as
did
he
end up killing him in the episode? They killed each other?
I believe they killed each other.
You just saw the episode, so you had him recent in your head.
No. There was no killing.
He left.
He just left.
Yeah.
So the problem was back again.
He was wounded, though.
But she
There's no end. Like,
yeah, we don't know. It's wibbly wobbly, so we don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, because he was wounded in that episode, and then they left it so like he was gonna turn into her.
Going from that, Missy worked for me as the Master, and I actually have a lot of faith. They changed the showrunner. I actually just finished all 3 seasons of Broadchurch. I made the mistake of watching the American version first. So my wife and I binged it.
You skipped the first season.
I watched the first episode and the last episode because the same storyline, but. I don't know of what her range is as an actor because she had a very specific character in Broadchurch and it's a very vanilla character. I mean, she does the character great. I'm just saying overall, it's a mom, and you know, and they might carry that into the Doctor somehow. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that she's going to be the Matt Smith to Capaldi. In other words, she's going to be a sillier Doctor if the story arc is right. And I think it's the showrunners also from Broadchurch that are doing it.
Yeah.
And Broadchurch has a very dark, strong tone to it, which is what they just came off with the Capaldi.
Which is why I feel like she might be my favorite one. She will end up being my favorite one. If they go dark, if they go a little bit...
It can be good. It's a good challenge for those writers. Those writers are being very happily challenged right now because they don't want to make it cliche and go overly too much about I used to be a guy and now I'm a girl. Yeah. Keep doing little jokes about that, about now I got to do makeup and now I got to do hair and I, you know, of what that is. But they also can't completely not address it either. Like, oh, I'm just a girl now and that's, you know, I've always, and act like if she's always been a woman and have no conflict there. On top of that, they're going to have to engage with their companions in a different route. I don't think they'll be crazy enough to go a romantic interest right out the gate with the very first female version of the Doctor. So they might go with almost like a mother-like, and again, that's where she's
like a family,
good.
Like a
exactly.
Family,
yeah. If she has a male companion, have almost like a mother-son relationship, which we've obviously never seen on Doctor Who before.
Well, she's getting 3 companions male role this season.
Yeah, which is smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the old versions of the show, they did that.
Yeah.
It's only been with the reboot that they only had one or two.
Yeah.
Right.
You go back to the old ones, it was not...
They've had more.
Yeah, he has a group. He has a group behind him. And
it was like the first season. There were like five of them.
Yeah, he had his granddaughter, the professor, and then like another teacher. Yeah.
So it looks like, and they'll probably do that in a smart way, almost like they were like most recent, actually, because we've been talking about it recently, like James Bond with the Daniel Craig series. They kind of made it newer, like, you know, Bourne Supremacy style, but went back to the classic format of James Bond, more simple, not so high tech, not so big action stunts, not so spy situation. Right. Yeah. But and it's the same thing. So they might be going like, we're going to kind of go back to the classic original Doctors 1 through 8 format of Doctor Who, but have the type of edge and writing to it and the story arcs and villainous that the newer Doctors have.
I love the Last Christmas special.
It's great. Well, the Doctor number one.
Wait,
he does them great. Which is incredible because he did them for the biography.
The biography.
That they did of him, and then they have him play him again for.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
That was awesome.
That was good.
She's excellent. And she's great. She's actually...
No love for Bill or Martha.
Yeah. No, Martha's...
Martha's a different story.
Martha's... I see a lot of people that usually like Donna as their favorite don't like Martha, and then the other way around. Yeah. People that love Martha
personally,
don't like Donna.
Bill's not my favorite companion, but for Capaldi, that was my favorite companion. I think she actually had a better chemistry with Doctor Number 12.
She had a wit. She had a very wit.
Than Clara.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their banter is excellent. They have excellent back and forth banter. And she's, you know, she has a more complex story. And right at the gate, you know, early on, when she falls in love with the other girl that turns into a puddle of water or whatever. And which comes back later. And then it was awesome that they were able to bring her back for the Christmas special also. So you know, they had great interaction. I'll tell you, that's villains. That's when I love to talk about Doctor Who, because you have some iconic ones.
Great.
And right, I'm actually wearing the shirt right now, if you can see it, which is the Weeping Angels. That
we can't.
That is so.
Mommy says stand up.
So, but yeah, so the go ahead. Oh. Oh, that would be awesome. Just scare kids away. That's good for Halloween. But I mean, such like, what is it? The Angels in Manhattan, and the Statue of Liberty. Ends up being one. It's like that's so. I mean, it's over the top.
Yeah, that episode was over.
Yeah, it's over the top. But I'm just saying, the concept of like statues can just.
I went to Halloween Horror Nights, that they had the statues. Haunted house. Let me tell you, that was the scariest.
I mean, the concept of that of statues, things you walk around and see every day, can be a whole life. And the idea of like if someone's not watching it for every second, the devastation. I mean, my fairy companions got taken out by. Yeah. The Weeping Angels. And again, not taken out, because they just take them to another time lost in space. Unfortunately, they were able to do it together, which that would have been dark if she hadn't ended up with Rory. Like, luckily, they didn't write that in.
What's interesting about the Weeping Angels is that the episode they
blink.
Start and blink.
Blink.
It's just...
That's one of my top three episodes also.
It's... Yeah, the Doctor's barely in that episode. He's in it like maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's
in it like in a computer
or
something.
That's how good of an antagonist they are, that they can carry... An episode.
Yeah. It's a filler episode, but it's like
we have
the best.
Silence, right?
The Silence? That's great. They're excellent.
Yeah. I wish they did more with the Silence, because they're very evil.
Well, they bring it back over time. The Zygons were slow to come back.
Yeah.
They can do something they might do with
it. Yeah, they'll bring them back.
And then, of course, you have the Daleks.
The Daleks.
Exterminate. And the children from over, too. That's just,
those children are scary.
Mommy, are you my mommy? That's so creepy. See, I'm a little disappointed there's no kids right now dressed as that. You all need to get gas masks for your kids for Halloween and make that a thing. Like, that's got to be a thing. Go ahead.
Christmas specials. It's been a while. The one with David Morrissey, I think it's called Not the Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would have been a good doctor, too.
That was Christmas special. That was Tennant's Christmas special.
He would have been a good doctor, too. And actually... Yeah. I almost kind of want to count him as a doctor, the almost, the maybe doctor.
Yeah.
He was incredible, but...
He would have been great if it wasn't that he just got casted for The Walking Dead right after
that.
Yeah,
the governor.
Yeah.
Which is, that's such a jump from the governor to that.
Yeah,
it shows how much range that actor has.
Yeah.
It shows he has a soul outside of that character. We're going to start wrapping up a little bit with something we do in every one of our episodes of the podcast called The Nerdcessity. And that's what I was saying earlier about Captain Jack Harkness. Probably not the most kid-friendly thing. My Nerdcessity, you guys have
No, you go ahead.
No, there's a spinoff called Torchwood. I don't know if everyone's seen that, but for any of our audience that's now getting into Doctor Who that will listen to this podcast later.
Except the kids.
Yeah, except for the kids. When they're older, they can watch it. Specifically that one season, what's it called?
Not you.
No, you can't watch that. Children of Earth.
Like 20 years
which
too young.
I can almost recommend you can just jump straight into that season and not even bother with the rest of the series because that season is just mind-blowing, the writing that goes into it, and they actually bring up the Doctor in that one, and it's just, it's scary, because it's like, with the choice that the governments of Earth are faced with from this alien race, it's scary, like, that is probably what would happen, and when you, as you watch that episode, and you see the darkness of it, and it's great, because that episode, you know, starts out, that season starts out with, I forget the main character's name now, but she's talking to the Doctor, saying, "Now I know why you're not here for this, because you would be so disappointed in man and the planet that you protect with how they're handling the situation." And what happens with Captain Jack, and that's why he's my favorite, because you go to the Stars series of Torchwood, there's one episode specifically where he is being killed over and over again in New York. And that episode is so dark, so deep. It's just a great episode. And Captain Jack is just, that he became one of my favorite characters from Doctor Who after that, specifically that episode. But when you go back and watch Torchwood, he's actually a very selfless character in a lot of ways and embodied from Doctor Who and from his experience with him. So that's usually how we wrap it up with our necessity. We have another panel coming here soon. So if anybody wants one last minute thing they got to throw out before leaving our panel, does anybody have anything? Anything at all? Going once. The TARDIS interior.
Oh, what's your favorite TARDIS interior?
Oh,
there you go.
That actually, you don't even. How do you even know that that's a thing?
I don't even. See.
Hey, what's yours?
Yeah, what is yours? What is it?
What's your favorite interior from the TARDIS?
I don't know, the new one.
The only one you've seen. Yeah, the one he hasn't seen, the one that's coming.
Hey, the new one does look pretty cool. It's very techy.
It does. Yeah, it's actually gonna be pretty. It might be my end up being my favorite.
Yeah,
that might be my new one. But that's because it's when it's tech. The newer is you're gonna be better and you're gonna like it more. Yeah. As long as it still has like two swimming pools and a library and all the other things. I would actually like to start showing that more.
I like in the 50th anniversary, he's just like, "Oh, you brought up the round things."
Yes.
He's like, "I never liked the round things."
So, well, that'll wrap up this panel. Again, we have another one at 3:30. We'll be talking Marvel. So I see a lot of Marvel cosplaying here. So I hope to see you back here at 3:30. It's only another hour from now. So sit through another panel and then talk to us and we'll talk Infinity War and all kinds of great stuff. So thank you so much. It's Omega. Peace.
MSK, peace out.
Yo, peace. Peace.
And there you have it, folks. This has been Fanatically Correct. Until next time, you crazy kids. Signing off.
I don't want to go.